You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Kāinga Ora, New Zealand's state housing provider, has been subject to deep cuts under the current coalition government. Current housing demand demonstrates that nationally nearly 30,000 houses are needed. However, most developments that were in Kāinga Ora's pipeline have been cancelled, with the most recent cut coming in Whanganui, where 138 planned houses have now been cut down to 7. This comes at the same time as the government is trying to stimulate a sluggish housing market by offering tax incentives to property owners, lowering interest rates, and opening up New Zealand's housing market to overseas investors. This is in the hopes that private developers in the market can cater to the overrun demand that exists. I talked to Vanessa Cole from the Public Housing Futures Campaign, a group that is trying to halt the deep cuts that are currently being experienced by Kāinga Ora and envision a new state housing system for New Zealand.
I was just wondering if you could give me a little bit of insight into the Public Housing Futures Campaign.
Of course. So we are fighting for a housing system where everyone has decent, stable and suitable housing, and see state housing as a key pathway towards this. It ensures that people can stay in their communities, close to their schools, hospitals, sports clubs. When we get rid of state housing, it impacts on our whole communities, and it makes all of our housing more unaffordable. So the support state housing campaign we're running at the moment is about supporting local communities to run local campaigns for state housing to try to stop the sell-off that's happening right now, but also to build public support for state housing. We know that leading up to the last election, we saw a small but very loud groups of people around the country that were protesting against Kāinga Ora being built in their communities. But we know that there are more people around the country that want to see their neighbours in decent housing. We currently have 13 groups who are starting to build campaigns locally, and we're encouraging people to join them and to start their own local campaigns to defend and extend state housing.
Can you maybe give me some more insight into what the current government is doing in regards to state housing, what the sell-off actually looks like?
Yeah, of course. So when the government came into power, they got this review into, this independent review into Kāinga Ora that was being led by Bill English, who, when he was in the previous national government, was a key driver of the social housing reform program, which was also trying to dismantle state housing. And that report came back and claimed that Kāinga Ora was not financially viable, and really pushing this debt narrative, which we know is not really legitimate, because we can actually borrow to build the houses that we need, and the debt that Kāinga Ora has is nothing really to worry about when you look at the amount of houses that it owns. And so they went ahead and started dismantling Kāinga Ora from the inside out, gutting it. They put pause on the construction of state housing across the country, and recently have now cancelled nearly 3,500 homes, 213 developments across the country, which would have provided decent and stable homes to people. Many of these developments were on land which used to have state housing on it, with families living in it that were forced out on this promise that we would get more state houses built. They are also selling around 900 state houses a year, which they say they're selling off in wealthy areas, but in every single one of these communities where they're selling off state housing, there's wait lists of people who are waiting to get into state housing. All of these communities need state housing, and so this sell-off is happening at quite a rapid pace at the moment. It's hard to even keep an eye on the amount of houses that are being sold off. And so they're dismantling Kāinga Ora and dismantling the state housing program. And at the same time, they're really propping up the private housing market and the private housing system. I think something that's kind of been less advertised is that in the absence of state housing, the government's really pushing this idea of affordable rentals. They amended the Overseas Investment Act, which allows international investors to essentially invest and build to rent. And real estate is finding these new ways to profit from the fact that we have more and more people renting. And so the government's brought back no-cause evictions. They're dismantling state housing. They transferred $2.9 billion to landlords. It's very clear that they are supporting and the profits of investors over everybody having a home.
Now, the argument the government might make here is that supporting the market and in some instances, or in a lot of instances, supporting landlords with tax incentives and tax breaks and bringing in overseas investment means that they're setting up the private market to be able to deliver the housing needs of the community and the demand that exists. Do you think that's true?
I think that it's pretty clear from our history that the private market has failed to adequately house people. I think when we get rid of state housing, which is one of the only like permanently affordable forms of housing, what we do is we leave space open for people being forced into the private rental market, which means that there's more profits for investors. We've got Chris Bishop kind of really pushing this idea that if we just build more houses, we're going to solve the housing crisis. But if all those houses are luxury apartments for those who can afford it, everyday people in our communities are going to be priced out of their neighbourhoods. This is why state housing is so essential. So if we build more state housing in our communities, it means that more people can have access to actually affordable housing, and it makes all of our housing more affordable when private landlords are forced to compete with somebody who does not make profit. So I think that we've got to be wary of the idea that the private market will solve the housing crisis when we have never seen that happen throughout history.
One of the things that I'm interested in understanding is, you know, if there's a well-resourced state housing provider that has the mandate to build these houses, there still needs to be, you know, a procurement and construction process to build these houses at a high quality and at the scale that's needed. But New Zealand struggles with that a lot of the time. It struggles to build on scale and for the needs of the many. We saw, you know, what was a pretty clear failure of the Kiwi Build program back in the first, the 2017 Labour government as well. How do you think your campaign is advocating for a better state housing system than the one we've had in the past?
Yeah, so one thing on that is that we have built state housing at scale before. The first Labour government built a lot of houses during the 1930s and 40s. And so it's not that it's impossible. I think it is very possible that we can build at scale. But what we want to do is to imagine a state housing system that's better than what we've had in the past. We want to have really high quality, sustainable, culturally adequate housing that really meets the needs of our communities, that is accessible for our disabled whānau and for our ageing population, that's future-proof, that is climate resilient. And so I think that Kāinga Ora was getting to a stage where they were figuring out the systems that work to build housing at scale and with good quality, because when you remove the profit motive from housing, we're actually building housing that is for us, and is for the future, and is we are not just building for quick profits to be made, but actually building housing that's going to last and is going to be really good quality for people in our community. So we're imagining a different state housing system that not only houses many people. So right now, state housing is only really available to those who are the most at risk of homelessness. But if we build at scale and we build good quality housing at scale and we make it more available to more people in our communities, that means that people from different income levels will have access to it. It means that we have planned control over the way in which housing is built, and it's not built just to make a quick buck. And so I think Kāinga Ora was getting there. But the gutting of Kāinga Ora and the dismantling of it means that we are going to see houses built, but maybe not to the quality and the standard that we deserve. Over the years, state housing has been kind of sidelined as a solution to our housing crisis, and this happened kind of really intentionally. So in the 90s, we saw the introduction of the accommodation supplement, which is essentially a subsidy for landlords, take over what was a state housing system. And so we need to be supporting the idea that state housing could become a bigger part of our housing system again. And that needs to happen alongside support for hapū and iwi to be able to have their own housing aspirations and to have land returned, and for you know, a housing system that is built not for profit but for everybody having a space to live.
How can people get involved in the campaign if they're interested in the work that you're doing?
You can email us at publichousingfutures@gmail.com, or you can come onto our website, which is publichousingfutures.com, and sign up to a local campaign, and we'll get in touch about ways that you can get involved to organise locally to stop the sell-off, but also to reimagine what housing might look like for your community.
That was Vanessa Cole from the Public Housing Futures campaign on the importance of a well-resourced state housing program.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.